It's my pleasure to welcome David Clement back into our studios at KRWG, conductor of the University Choirs and the Masterworks Chorus. Welcome, David.
Thank you very much.
So, Francis Poulenc, when you listen to his or instrumental music, he's just cheeky and fun and urbane and sometimes irreverent. And he was part of this group of composers, Les Six, the Six, and artists and filmmakers and all sorts of avant-garde musicians and people that were active in Paris.
Correct.
In the early 20th century. And his music just reflected that. He was openly gay, and he just wrote, I always think of it as just very fun, light music. But then he had this religious experience when a friend died, and he became quite religious, and he began turning out this liturgical music. And one of his major pieces you will be performing this weekend with your choirs, his Stabat Mater. So let's talk about that piece and also this interesting composer.
Sure, very much so. He's one of my all-time favorite composers, and many years ago I had the opportunity to sing some of his a cappella music. And it was at first kind of music that I thought, wow, this is very different than some of the more traditional classical and Baroque works that I had known at the time. But he struck a chord with me, and I've been passionately advocating him ever since. And it's been a little while since I've done some of his music, but a while back I did his Gloria, which is probably his more widely known orchestral choral work, also happens to be with soprano soloist. And it's a fabulous work with a bit more in the brass area of the orchestration. But this one has a very evocative, very powerful text. It's a 13th century poem, essentially, that has been in and out of, I'm sure favor is the right word, within the Catholic liturgy. For a long time it was used frequently within the liturgy in the Catholic Church, and then was not, and it's kind of come back and forth over the many hundreds of years. But it's a very powerful text that really conjures up a lot of imagery. And I think, as you mentioned, with Poulenc's connection to people who were in the movie score part of the music world, he definitely has a knack for creating a visual picture through the way that he orchestrates and sets each of these different pieces of the poem, of the Stabat Mater.
And you said he struck a chord with you, which I thought was an interesting use of words, because he sometimes has these just unbelievable chords, sometimes harmonious, sometimes dissonant.
Yes, and he goes back and forth between what sounds like a very traditional B-flat major chord, and go, oh, that's lovely. And then he has something that has lots of dissonances, and it's those back and forth moments that he so deftly flows between that create just a very special sound that is not something that every person immediately hears or is able to make happen, particularly in voices. And it's been one of the wonderful challenges of this piece for the choir. But they have really come together and found a way to listen to these dissonances and I think most people would suggest that it's become a bit more common to them, a bit more traditional sounding, despite it being these seconds and sevenths of very dissonant sounds at times.
Yeah, and 20th century, and he was part of the 20th century. He didn't shy
very
away from
so.
Using dissonance, although his music is not atonal and it's not, the most dissonant, far-out 20th century music.
No, by all means not.
Yeah.
He also can be very, very lyrical, has gorgeous melodies. The a cappella moment that you started out with today is one of the more beautiful sections of the work. And it has a sense of Renaissance or medieval chant.
Yeah.
And so he works on various levels, and he can take you and transport you to different time periods of music, but creates a unique sound that's clearly his own and of the 20th century, but...
Yeah, and beautiful, and a masterwork. So it's appropriate for this masterworks concert. Now I was at a rehearsal the other day. There's got to be 120, 130 people up there on that stage.
We have approximately 130. Yeah,
big forces, and this is a combination of your masterworks chorus and your university choir.
University singers and women's choir as well. We've had the women's choir working on the Schubert, and they're really gotten into it, had a lot of fun doing it. And for many, it's been their first experience on a stage with this many singers, with an orchestra, and working together with soloists. So it's been a really eye-opening experience for them.
And are these undergraduate as well as graduate level singers?
These are almost all undergraduate singers with just a very few graduates. And then we have the community contingent of Masterworks, which is a community and college level group. So there are approximately 45 or so community members that are singing in the group as well, which lends a wonderful combination of more experienced older adults with young students who are learning some of this for the first time, and it's really a great combination of people and experiential levels that come together.
So on the Poulenc, we'll talk about the Schubert in a few minutes. Who's your soprano soloist?
For the Poulenc, we have Kristen Hodgkins. She is actually a Las Cruces not much say native, but she lives here now, and she's a member of Masterworks Chorus, and she has a lovely, lovely voice and a master's degree in vocal performance, opera, and became just a very clear choice for singing these several little solos within part of the larger work, and it's been just a joy to have her step out of the choir, literally, and come and sing these two or three movements, and then she steps back into it for the Schubert a little later.
Mm. And this is a big work, this Poulenc.
Yes, it is. It has a lot of different sizes to the orchestration. It can be extremely thin with just three or four instruments, a fair amount of string playing, and then all of a sudden it has a huge chord with every instrument in the entire pack playing at the softest dynamic possible, and back and forth it goes.
So you just mentioned the orchestra, which is what I wanted to talk about next. You have an orchestra right there on stage, a small, really chamber orchestra, but and it's made up of also, look to me, like some professionals like Roberto Arruda and Daniel Vega Albela from La Catrina Quartet.
Correct.
And some students.
Definitely. It's a combination of some faculty members, some students at NMSU in the music program, and then some area professionals who have come in and we started putting everything together on Monday night, and it's just been a wonderful ride this whole week.
So what's it like as the conductor? Normally you're dealing mostly with your singers, to suddenly have instruments also, and they're not right in front of you. They're sort of they're flanking you and at your side and bringing such a different sound.
Yeah, it's a very different beast, so to speak, and it's a real joy of mine to work with the orchestra, and I try to work with instrumentalists as often as possible to add them to the choral sound, because it adds some really unique flavor to any pieces that we're doing. I spent many years ago playing the violin, so played in a lot of orchestral music, and so for me it's always kind of like coming home a little bit to have the orchestral piece added to the choral piece, which I'm so passionate about. And
I should just say these concerts are tomorrow night at 7:30 and Saturday at 3.
At 3 o'clock, all in Atkinson.
At the Atkinson Recital Hall. And tickets are available at Ticketmaster and the Pan Am Center.
Correct.
Here on University. So these are, the name of this concert is A Mother's Sorrow, and Stabat Mater really means that.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorrow of a mother. And I should also just say that Stabat Mater text has been many composers from Palestrina all the way till the 20th century have set this to music. So Poulenc he was using a text that's known and has been sung in every style.
Very much so. It doesn't have as much representation in Baroque and early Romantic, but later Romantic and definitely 20th century composers have chosen to do this because of the power of the text and the very vivid pictures that it conjures up. And there's several fabulous, also very large orchestrated works by that title by other composers.
Yeah. All right, so you've paired it. There's just two works on this concert program with a Mass by Schubert, so another big liturgical work.
Correct. The Mass is the Mass number 5, And it's one of his later works. And compared to his earliest Mass in G major, which is very brief and clearly written by a very youthful Schubert, this one is clearly a composition of a much more experienced composer who had a lot more experience by that point in time with orchestral writing. So there are some just gorgeous colors with the woodwinds and the brass that are playing with the strings. And it's got some very lovely lilting melodies, but also some really very powerful singing in the middle two movements, the Gloria and the Credo, which are a real tour de force singing as well as playing for the orchestra. There are some of the most challenging and also worthwhile moments in the whole work.
Yes, and as you say, quite lilting, quite dance-like. I was surprised at how... I know lighthearted is the wrong word, and yet that's almost the way the music sounded. Of course, it's Franz Schubert, so
yes.
You know, you're talking about a composer who was a master of songs and just knew how to put everything into each song.
Really did a wonderful job. And I learned this piece also when I was a young boy, and it stuck with me ever since. I've always wanted to do it, and this was just a perfect pairing with the Poulenc that we're doing on the program.
A lot, though, for your singers to learn. This is an ambitious program.
It is. They've worked very, very hard. We have just a wonderful group of singers who has become very passionate about doing whatever it takes to make sure they get that music right. And so we've had extra rehearsals, and people have just been really wanting to make it everything it can be. And I'm just really, really proud of everything they've accomplished, particularly because these pieces are two very different musical types of works, different centuries, very different composers. So it's been a great challenge in two very different kinds of ways.
Have you conducted them before, both these pieces?
I have conducted neither of these two pieces before. They've been on my list of would love to do it sometime, and the timing felt right.
Huh. Wow. So this is a great adventure for you as well as a conductor.
Most definitely.
And what does that entail when you have sung a piece and you've been in the risers and then you get in front?
It's a very different experience, hearing everything coming at you instead of being one of many people sending it out to the audience. It requires a very different kind of preparation, obviously, as a conductor than it does as a singer of one vocal part among many. But it's been just a wonderful, wonderful experience.
How long does it take you to study a work that you feel confident that you can then conduct it? Because you have to know...
Yeah.
Everything that's happening in that whole 40 minutes or 30 minutes yeah. for these pieces.
I try when doing the bulk of my programming during the summers in preparation for the school season to do most of my score study, if at all possible, during the summer to begin that process and then to revisit it regularly throughout the time, even if I know it's not till the end of April that we're doing it. And a lot of course, it happens when you're teaching as well. You're experiencing a lot of stuff, and with three choirs doing it, it's a lot of time.
Yeah. Do you, so when you're looking at the score for the first time and, you know, you know this music because you've sung it, but do you listen to recordings or do you try and get the sound in your head just from the music?
I try not to listen to recordings early on. If it's a piece that I've never heard before, I might listen to it once just to make sure that what I see on the page and what I see in my head will be what I'm looking for that year in terms of planning for the certain choirs and so forth. But after I've made the choice that this is going to be the work, I try not to listen for a very, very long time so that I make decisions about what the composer is asking for, and then listen to something, you know, that's been done by other conductors. And just the Schubert, for instance, has a timing on different CDs of as low as 42 minutes in length to as long as 50 minutes in length. Huh. And so clearly different conductors have made different choices about tempi and other things that the music presents that have made it a very different type of work, even in contemporary conducting situations. So I like to try to make those decisions early on before I'm influenced by other people's choices.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Well, the concerts are tomorrow night at 7:30 and Saturday at 3 at the Atkinson Recital Hall. I've been talking with David Clement. This concert is called A Mother's Sorrow, but it's not all sad music. The Schubert especially has a lot of moments of really bright, beautiful, as we said, almost dance-like music. And thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
It's the Masterworks Chorus and the University Singers tomorrow night and Saturday. Stay with us on 90.7 KRWG Las Cruces, KRXG Silver City.